Had a few revelations that changed my life. Probably the number one revelation ever changed my life was that of righteousness. But it would be a close tie for second. And the realm of the soul, the teaching on the soul, was probably right there at number two. And the first person I ever heard really go into depth on teaching of the soul was Pastor Elizabeth Smither from Grace Fellowship of Frankfurt. And you talk about a woman sold out to God. She had come into faith. She was dying, 20 years ago? About 20 years ago, was dying. I mean, family would have to carry her around the house. And she got the revelation of faith. I may be messing up her testimony some, but basically, she came off the deathbed. Having heard Pastor Callan, came off the deathbed by faith. And is sold out to the Word of God like no woman I know. I'm talking about 100% sold out. And lives and walks and thinks nothing but Word. And so I'm so delighted to have her. In fact, she took my place in Frankfurt when I left. Amen. She's now assistant over there. Amen. I'm so excited we have the opportunity to hear what she has to say today, because I know it's going to literally catapult us to another level of comprehension of the principles of the kingdom of God. So, Pastor Elizabeth, come on up here and have at it.
Glory to God. I tell you what, I was getting so excited what Pastor Jack was sharing on and everything. I said, go for it. Go for more. Go down that bunny trail. Yeah, that's good. It's all so wonderful what God has given us, because for so long, the body of Christ, that is the kingdom of God in the earth, that has been commissioned by the commander in general of the kingdom in heaven. We've been commissioned not just to come and compromise or take sides. We've been commissioned to take over. And so far, the score has been 6 billion non-Christians and 1 billion Christians. And so if just focusing on getting people born again and into the kingdom was all that we're here for, we would have already done that in 2,000 years. So there's more to it than just getting people born again. How many times have you talked to someone and the power of God, the evangelistic love anointing all over you and on that person, and they get gloriously, gloriously born again and come to church for a while, but they have to go back out into the world and work for some heathen boss and rent from some heathen landlord and have to operate in all the things that the world has. And gradually what happens? They slide back into the old person. Why? Because they're not taught anything about who they are, their identity. And so at least in the portion, I believe Pastor Jack and I are going to be teaching you not just about the importance of soul renewal and getting your soul lined up to the Word of God, but we're actually going to be dealing even in a deeper place called the subconscious. In the soul, you have the conscious thoughts that are going in your mind, but also there's the subconscious. The subconscious, we're going to be dealing with the subconscious portion of your brain as well as your identity. I had this experience just in the last few days. Somebody that's really, they've been coming to church for a while, but they were starting to slip back into some old habits. They stole for a living. They were criminals in jail. But they got born again in jail. Praise the Lord. Now they're a new creation. But they still have to do something with their thinking and their identity to be able to live free in this natural realm, right? And they started writing bad checks again and said, look, you know, you can't do this. You write a check for more than a bad check for more than $100, you're getting into felony territory. I mean, this is serious business. Don't do this. Didn't you have a conviction? Didn't something inside of you go off that this is wrong, this is not right? And he honestly looked the person straight in the face and said, no. Why? Because they're still thinking that's who they are. They're still a criminal. Even though they're born again and they have an inheritance. Do you know that you have an inheritance? An extremely wealthy inheritance to manifest in this natural realm? Well, when I die, what the glory time that'll be. I'll have a mansion in Glory Land. Everything will be okay over yonder. I have a home in Glory Land that outshines the sun of glory. I have a home in Glory Land. And they would have been just, you know, singing those Glory Land over yonder, until the Christians are dying before the heathen do. Why? Because they get a bad report? Forget it. We're not going to fight this cancer. We're just going to step on over. I mean, they'll say you've got 6 months to live, and this Christian gets in the presence of God and say, see ya, beam me up, God. I'm not going to struggle with this stuff. I know I've got a better place over yonder. A woman in the ICU, I was giving her my testimony about the healing power of God and how good God is, and she just, the more I talked and the more I talked about the goodness of God, her mouth just got, and her eyes got bigger, and she said, that is just amazing. She said, as all these years I've worked in the ICU, the intensive care unit at the hospital, she says, the funniest thing, these Christians come in and they get a bad report, they've got 6 months to live or whatever, and she says, you know, they don't last more than about 2 weeks. And all these blaspheming, strong-willed, bad-mouthed people that obviously don't know God just willfully get themselves up and going and fighting this thing, and they'll live another, you know, 10 years. What's the deal? Christians have been singing all those over yonder songs and talking about over yonder. So what's their mind renewed to? Over yonder. Let's just leave this and go over yonder. When God wants us to be singing, I've got a home with glory in this land that outshines the sun. Amen. I've got glory in my home that outshines the sun. I've got glory in my home that outshines the sun. Way over here. Thy will be done over here as it is over yonder. But how do we do that? Well, the soul is your promised land. As you renew your mind and you get down into the subconscious. See, the Word of God will divide down into the subconscious part of your mind. The things that we're going to be talking about today, you know what's exciting about this? You can't do it unless you're born again. It's powerful. The things that are available to Christians. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, hey, you know, you can't even see the kingdom of God till you're born from above, right? I mean, he just didn't fool with him anymore. Here you are trying to argue with this this person that's not born again. They have no understanding of the kingdom of God, and you're trying to describe to them how God is going to heal them and talk to them about faith. I mean, they can't see it. It's not available. The information we have for you today is not available for people that are not born again. So it should be easy for us to take over. But we first have to take over our souls and the subconscious part of our mind, getting our identity changed to where we don't think. You know what sinners do? They sin. So as long as somebody thinks they're a sinner, what are they going to do? They're going to sin. What do the righteous do? They do not sin. They work holiness. They walk holy, separated. I've used this example so many times, but you know, I've got a golden retriever, and his name is Rusty. And Rusty used to, I put this in the past tense, he used to be tempted with cat dung. Cat food is high in protein, and the cat doesn't metabolize it all when it goes through the system. For some reason, I don't know if anybody else has a dog that you've seen them go after that, and you're so, oh, nasty! Stop that! Bam, 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 bam! Dog food. Tastes like my dog food. The Word of God says that a person without understanding, which would be people that are not born again, are like the beast of the field. No wonder the world describes people as being in the animal kingdom. We're not in the animal kingdom, folks. We are not. We are in the kingdom of God. Amen? But when you understand, when your identity changes, sin is is about as less tempting to you as cat dung. Because that's not who you are anymore. You're not in the animal kingdom. You're in the kingdom of God. You are actually a new species of being that has never existed before Jesus was raised from the dead. Years ago, this airplane went down in the Potomac. It took off from, I guess, the Washington Airport there, and the wings were all iced up, and it didn't get enough altitude, and so just even on takeoff, it just didn't even get very high at all, and I think it just came right back down in the Potomac River. Moments before the crash, everybody knew in the airplane that this plane's not going. It's going down. Everyone in the airplane knew that these last few seconds could possibly be the last few seconds of their lives in this earth realm. Everybody knew. You would think people in the last moment of their life, right before they're going to step off into eternity, you would think that they would be crying out to God, that they would be calling on the name of Jesus, that they would be, hey, what's important now? God. You know, you think the whole cockpit or and the whole cabin would just be filled with people expressing themselves to God and just forgetting everything. I mean, in a moment, how long does it take to repent? Less than a second. And just, God, save me. Jesus, Lord, you're my Lord. You know, you'd think the whole place would be just screaming with adoration and with with words. There was a Christian that survived that. There were several survivors because it didn't get enough acceleration. Several survivors, but this one Christian, he said, "I really don't understand this. I don't understand this at all." He said, in those last moments, everybody knew, I knew, this could possibly be the last few moments of my life. But he said that the cabin was absolutely filled with cursing and blaspheming God. He said, I don't understand this. Well, I understand it. In a time of emergency, you've heard of the fight or flight syndrome, but we'll get into a little more of that later. The soul, which is the mind, the intellect, ducks. God created this, that in an emergent situation, the spirit would come to the forefront and take authority and manifest deliverance. The only problem is, What have those people been filling their hearts with? See? It might have made sense in the soul, but that soul ducks, gets out of the way in the time of emergency, and whatever somebody has been filling their heart in the subconscious part of their mind with is what is expressed. Everybody has said something like, well, I don't know why I said that. He was in there. And your mind couldn't stop it. Somebody can have PhDs, master degrees, all kinds of degrees, educated their mind. But in a time of emergency, they'll turn to you and say, what's the number for 911? And you're going, see? Because the soul ducks. And if there's nothing, if they haven't made any deposits, right? So it's really, so we want to get more, and the more, and this is so wonderful, see, I want to show you how wonderful this is, because as you're renewing the mind, and as you're renovating, you all are doing a lot of beautiful renovation around here, and this is wonderful, getting ready for the harvest, right? Well, the same way, you got to renovate the mind, right? And as you're renovating the mind, it gets down into the subconscious part of your brain, and we're going to deal with these things. And as you're doing that, then your destiny that God has placed in your heart is starting to have expression. And the lands and houses you're supposed to oversee for the kingdom of God are starting to come into focus. And because in your mind in the soul, in the heart and soul is where your destiny is. And as you're occupying the promised land of your soul, it starts happening out here. Now, if Jesus has won the victory, and he has, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is. If he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, and he has. If he's cleansed the spirit with his blood in the name, he has. Then what? If he is the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world, and he did, then why are we still got sin? Why are people that don't love God still in control of the money? Why? Because whoever controls the soul world controls this natural realm. Okay? Now let's get into some stuff. Are you ready? Because see, when we get to where we understand how to control the soul world, then everything else will be added to you. And all we have to do is get a hold of what we're teaching today, start applying it, and because people that don't know God can't do this, it's easy for us to take over. It's not hard because we're not dealing just with fleshly, soulish weapons anymore. It's easy, folks. I want you to see how easy it is for the kingdom of God and a few people like this can take over Georgetown. Take over. Take over. You go into the, PVA office over here. And you walk in there, and I mean people are fussing and arguing about their property taxes and just, you know how people are. Anytime money's involved. Because money's their God. And so, you know, if they can just get $5, they think they've arrived, you know, they've conquered the PVA office. So they're all fussing and all this kind of stuff and the atmospheres. And just in your soul, in your flesh, you just want to say, see, I'll come back later. I'll just mail mine in so that I don't have to be in all that worldly mess. And when you understand, when you've got your mind renewed of who you are, your identity has changed, your subconscious part of your mind is occupied by the kingdom of God, and you're advanced the kingdom minded, you'll stand there in the name of Jesus. You don't have to yell and, you know, make a scene. You defeated spirit of grief. Fear, get out of here now. And Jesus, I have authority over you. You go now in Jesus' name. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. Now loose that person right now in Jesus' name, angel. Get on assignment here for this place, the presence of God, the glory of God, the whole atmosphere. You just are, I thank you, Lord. I praise you. I worship you. I'm your ambassador here. And I'm saying what I hear you saying. The righteous are in authority. People are rejoicing in this place. And as you're just letting what's in your spirit come forth into that place, the whole atmosphere changes. Now, instead of devils talking into people's minds, angels are talking into their minds. There's been an inversion, see? Now the kingdom of God authority is in the soul world of that place, and people start thinking, well, you know, really, I think my property is, actually, it's really worth more than that. I'm sorry. I was just in here trying to, I don't know what I was trying to do. You really need to up my property tax a little bit. Matter of fact, I know we need for our schools to have more money anyway. Here, I'll just write you another check and put that on the school. Start thinking, you know, the love of God. And people start, when the atmosphere is changed, and they've got angels talking into their minds, what do you think they're leading them into? Born again. Saved. Delivered. If you are in charge of the, let's say you own, you know, 1,000 apartment units. And you pray over those units all the time. And you are sincerely concerned for the souls, because see, you're not, it's not about money to you. You're seeking the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things are being added to you, and so your increase is coming through seed time and harvest. You sow bountifully and you reap bountifully, but you have this assignment, and you've been given control for the kingdom of God to oversee these, as a steward of the kingdom, these apartment complexes. And you're praying over them, and the people are coming in to your office to pay their monthly rent. The atmosphere is flooded with heaven. Don't you think that that would be much better than somebody that hates God, that is doing everything they can to stop the move of God in this city, and is money hungry because money's their God. You can't serve two masters. And you yes, yeah, you can do anything you want to in that apartment. Just make sure you come and pay your bill. And I've got that deposit, so you know, if you leave and you leave it trash, then you don't get your deposit. That's all they care about. Those people can do whatever, sin to their heart's content. If he doesn't care, all he wants is the money. Come on, folks. All we have to do is get a hold of what we're teaching today, and things can happen, pow, just like that, in no time. Because people that do not know God cannot control their souls. You know what? I had this, I'm just telling a lot of stories here. You guys just like testimonies, don't you? I can see that. We are going to get the word, amen? But I was a veterinarian for 20 years. And it's really where I first started discovering the soul world. Because when I got out of school, I was sharp. I had a hold of some interest. I mean, just I really enjoyed school. Because I like to find out the whys and the hows. And I like biochemistry, you know, and I like pathology, histology, and get in it. Oh, this is how this, oh, this is interesting. Wow, you know. And so when I got out, I'm ready to cure every dog in the county. The cats, too. Throw a few horses and cows in there. And I got out, and I've got all this knowledge, and Dr. Smither, come on in here. Right, we got the answers. I can look it up in the book if I don't know it. And they presented me with this cat. Huge, big old lick granuloma on its back leg. Just wouldn't leave it alone. And I medicated that thing, and I gave it, you know, shots and steroids and hormone shots and pills. And, man, I was throwing the medicine to it. And it would clear up. I mean, it'd get to where it's almost cleared up, and then suddenly, whoosh, here it is back again. Couldn't get the animal off the medicine. And finally, the people just, they said, look, we're going on vacation. I think they wanted a vacation from medicating the cat. We're going on vacation. Nobody can give this cat, you know, the medication it needs. So could you just board the cat, okay? You take care of our, you know, little Susie cat here, and you take care of Susie, and we're going to go on vacation. Sure, that's fine. We'll, you know, we've got a kennel in the back, so we got the cat to take care of. So we put the cat in the cage. Oh, the kennel help. You know, they're busy, but they get the animals out a little bit, you know, or they'll, when they put the food in, they'll pet the animals or whatever, but not a whole lot of attention, okay? Just got the cage, cat litter box, food, 2 weeks. That's the way it is. Do you know that we did not give that cat one pill, not one shot, not one drop of medicine the whole time it was there? And the cat totally cleared up. Okay. In other words, the cat isn't sick. It's the atmosphere that the cat lives in. It's the people that are sick and not physically sick in their souls. And cats can't control their atmospheres. They can't say, oh, I praise you, Lord. Lift up their little paws. Meow, meow, meow. They can't change anything. You know? They can't express the love of God. Oh, they'll try to rub up against, you know, people, but, you know. So now what am I going to do? I'm finding out 80% of all the sick animals are not animals sick. It's the atmosphere and the people. And the people, the animals, see, they're very soulish creatures. You may have noticed. And they try to grab your souls, right? And they're totally subjected to whatever atmospheres that the people that live there, that own them and take care of them, are producing. So I'm finding out, and the more I get into this, I'm saying, well, if you can control an animal's health with simply having an atmosphere of the kingdom of God, love, joy, peace, you know, families that are always fighting each other and bad words and or grief, fear, all that kind of stuff, the animals are developing psoriasis, you know. They're developing sicknesses. They're scratching. They're tense. They're in, you know, stressed out. These animals come in the office like, I had one dog. See if we can get the knots out of this cat. They said, oh, Dr. Smither, you got an appointment at 2 o'clock with this, and this dog is a biter. I mean, every time it comes in here, it bites somebody. So you're going to have some help. I just wanted you to know. Well, it was very unusual for me to have an extended amount of time between clients. But this day in particular, I had a couple hours, 12 to 2. So I just decided, well, I'm just going to stay in this examining room, and I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to pray in the spirit. And so I prayed in the spirit for 2 hours. They bring this carrier in. It's got this little dog in there, a biter, right? They put him on the examining table there. And I said, okay, this is Fido, huh? All right, Fido Fighter. Open the little cage there, and he's this. I said, okay, well, come on out here. Reached in there, pulled him out. He's out on the examining table. I mean, I checked in his ears, opened his mouth, you know, did his heart, got some blood, got a stool sample, you know, checking for worms, all this kind of stuff, temperatures, all this. And he's just sitting there. And the owners are standing there going, I don't know what's wrong with this dog. What do you mean what's wrong? This is what's right. This is right. They bring him in. Now, he'll probably bite you. I'm going, what? This is going to bite me? So I put him back in the cage. I said, okay, this is what. He said, this has never happened. It's a different atmosphere. Animals act totally different according to the atmosphere they're in. Okay, now what about this? People without understanding the Word of God, do we need to turn over to that scripture, or you all know it? You know it. Say, we know it. People without understanding are like the beast of the field. You've got control of the atmosphere. You know, people that don't know God cannot control their atmospheres very well. They can try. You know, they can try to forgive people. They can try to laugh. They can put on some, you know, Three Stooges and maybe get a few belly laughs out of that. But all in all, they don't really have understanding, or they don't have any ability to control their atmospheres, because they have a sin nature. And sinners do what? Sin, right? And subject to their feelings. We're not subject to our feelings, right? Amen. Our feelings tell us what's in the soul world, right? But in the world, they're subject to how they feel, what they think about this, right? You can do just like, so they're getting sick. because they don't know how to control their atmospheres. The same thing as these animals. We have control. We have authority. Wherever we go, I'm just going to run into Kroger, get what I need, and run back out again. I don't like that atmosphere. I got to go to Walmart. Just hate that poverty atmosphere in there, but I can get in there and get out really fast. Why don't you go control? Why don't you take over? Take over everywhere you are. Because you are in this world, but you are not of this world. But you don't understand, Pastor Elizabeth. I work with all these heathen, and they just talk ugly all the time. And I just want to get a new job so I can get away from all this. You know, take over. That's your assignment. The kingdom of God rules over all. Are you hearing this? Go to 1 Peter in chapter 1. You know what? I forgot to look at our time here. Oh, I didn't start the time. Does anybody know what time it is? 1 Peter in chapter 1. Are we having fun yet? Do you see how awesome this revelation is? That all you have to do is possess in your soul who you are and what belongs to you, and it will start coming to you. Glory to God. 1 Peter. Go to verse 23 first. I really don't know what time it is. You've got to. Verse 23, being born again, say born again, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now the New King James actually expresses this better. It's a little bit more literal translation of this verse because it says, having been born again. Born again in your spirit, it's a done deal. Say done deal. You can't be just kind of pregnant, okay? Girls, you understand that. It's a done deal, right? In your spirit, when you received, you believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth. You gave the Holy Spirit access to the innermost part of your being. And a regening or a regeneration happened on the inside of you. And the old sinner nature was circumcised off of your heart. And a new nature created on the inside of you called the born again righteous new person. You are in this world and you're not of it. Hold your place right here. Go to 2 Peter. So play Christian music for your animals. They love for you to pray in the Spirit. Cats will. They love for you to walk praying in the Spirit with them in your arms. They absolutely, it will extend your pet's life. Spiritual things. Chapter 3 of 2 Peter, are you there? Nevertheless, verse 13 of chapter 3, 2 Peter. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Now get this. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he became sin. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Does everybody know that scripture? He made him to be sin for us. God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin. That we might, he didn't just pay a certain number of commissions of sin, right? He became sin. He took on that old nature, that old creation nature of sin. He became something he never was, so that we could become something we never were. That's why you cannot deserve heaven with enough works. You've got to have the righteous nature, the same nature that heaven is. You became that we might become the righteousness of God in him. When you give enough jello salads or hand out enough tracts or, you know, do enough good deeds? No, when you are born again, when you confess him as Lord and Savior. Amen? That regening happens on the inside of you. Well, now that righteous new nature that is who you are now comes, is the same nature of heaven. Righteousness dwells in the new heaven and new earth, and that's who you are. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. We're of the new heaven and the new earth. We're of the righteous new creation. So as we renew our minds and get that understanding down in the subconscious part of our mind where our identity changes. The person that had been counseling this fellow that I had talked about that started writing bad checks again and all that, and they said, I don't understand this. How they didn't have a conviction that was wrong. I said, their identity. They still think of themselves as a criminal, and this is what criminals do. So they had a conviction to write bad checks. I mean, in a sense, it's crazy. But the identity, see, the subconscious, the down deeper than just conscious thought. So it's not about just trying to control, oh, take that thought, oh, take that thought, oh, take it out, oh, cast that out, oh. Now, you do some of that stuff, okay? But the point is getting down to the place where you wake up and you know, this is the day the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Something is changing today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm taking over. Amen? Everywhere you go, you are an air traffic controller. Amen. Go back to 1 Peter. So having been born again, say done deal. You're born again probably through an intercessor praying for you. And you were birthed into the kingdom. Born again righteous. Born again of the new heaven and new earth. Born in again, not of this world. You're no longer of this world. Now it's up to you to take what has been birthed in you and save your soul with it. You're born again in your spirit. Your soul is saved. Look here just a few verses before. And Pastor Jack, of course, hit on this. But it says in verse 8, whom having not seen you love, in whom now, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. So this thing is going to take some effort on your part. A lot of praise, say a lot of praise. A lot of gratitude, say a lot of gratitude. Attitude of gratitude. Being thankful. I got some good stuff on just being thankful, folks. And we'll hopefully get into that later. Verse 9, receiving. So you're going to receive the end of your faith. You're going to receive the end of your faith, not feeling sorry for yourself, not in fear, not crying about what they did to you 20 years ago. And they're still doing it to you. But I forgave them. Well, okay. I believe you did forgive them. But you're still dealing with a bad memory stronghold that you're not going to, by the end of this day, that thing will never manipulate and control you again. You're going to inactivate some of those things. Amen? No, you're going to receive the end of your faith with joy unspeakable, whether you feel like it or not. What's joy unspeakable, full of glory, have to do with feelings? Joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the new car, the healing, the promotion. No, the end of your faith is the salvation of your souls. See, our focus, trying to make something happen in this natural realm. Oh, I'm just going to speak to it, and it's going to have to obey me. Well, you know, it'll work. You know, but you got to understand where your focus is in getting your soul saved so that just comes to you. See? Because if your mind isn't renewed, these strongholds will actually, for instance, you may have been raised with a poverty mentality. I mean, your grandparents and your family or whatever, maybe you were raised, you know, three generations of being on welfare. Well, you've got strongholds in your mind that are actually pushing money away from you. But when you get that switched around in your soul, money will just, you'll be a money magnet. Glory to God. Say glory to God. So the salvation of your soul, when you focus your faith on your soul, everything else will line up. All these things will be added to you. What things? All the things that the Gentiles seek after. The scripture says, hey, the Father knows you have need of all these things. The Gentiles seek after the money and the food and it's just like, you know, that's what animals do. Animals in the wild, they spend their whole life just surviving, foraging, trying to find enough to eat, you know, and reproduce and, you know, die. You know? Hallelujah. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Okay, now. It wouldn't be quite as difficult, perhaps, if that's all there was to it. Oh, I'm born again now, and all I have to do is get this inside of me and change the way I think, and everything will be hunky-dory, and glory to God, live happily ever after. But you've got an enemy that hates you. And his name is Satan, the devil. And he's got a bunch of demons working for him. And he's got some that are assigned to you. Okay? Now, they are familiar with the old ways of your thinking. Have you ever heard of familiar spirits? They're familiar with the old you. Okay? And they don't want to give up their territory. And where is their territory? Strongholds in your mind, so that you keep thinking, you know, that you're a criminal. You keep thinking that you're a sinner. Well, Pastor, that's just the way I am. I'm just kind of shy. I just don't talk to people. That's just how I feel. Well, that's how the old you was. You still think that you're that way. That's not you. The word says in Proverbs 28:1, the righteous are bold as a lion. And you've got some good news that you can hardly stand it if you can't get it into somebody today. and being an air traffic controller, some kind of grief or fear pops up, you're ready to go after it. You get up out of bed saying, glory to God, I'm going to tread on lions and serpents and scorpions today. Give me a demon-possessed person. Your emotions, instead of controlling you now, God has given you emotions to track what's happening in that soul world. Let me get over here to Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians in chapter 2. How about if you just tell me when I've got 5 minutes left? And that'll help. Ephesians 2. Let me set this up, and I'll let you go meditate on what you need to do for your animals. Because, you know, a lot of people do stuff for the animals they won't do for themselves, okay? But if you know that your animals are sick and constantly haven't been taken to the vet because you're not keeping your atmosphere right, hey. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1 says, "And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins," verse 2, "wherein in time past," say time past, "you walked according to the course of this world." See, that was me. Past tense. "According to the" what? "The prince of the power of the air." Well, you know, that was back then. It doesn't, we don't have any prince of the power of the air anymore to deal with, do we? Huh? Huh? Who's the prince of the power of the air? Can I hear that? A defeated devil, right? He's been kicked out of heaven, right? But you still can't see him in the physical realm. You might have thought you saw him this morning. But that was just somebody acting like the devil. Okay? You didn't see the devil. All right? Because he's in a second unseen world. There's the spirit world, but there's also the soul, the mental, psychological, emotional realm. And he's a prince trying to set up his kingdom in the soul world, with all these psychics and sorcerers and channelers and all those people. They're not spiritual, folks. They are strictly limited to soul realm power. They're not spiritual. You'll have to fear them. You can take authority over their atmosphere and it'll totally mess up their channeling. Well, they'll start channeling, you know, Moses or somebody. Not really. I mean, it'll really they'll start preaching the gospel. Not even born again. You know? You see one of those, you know, psychic channeler people that's acting all spiritual, and he starts, "Oh, Jesus, you defeated devil, get out. Jesus' name, I take authority over you. You don't belong to her. In Jesus' name, oh God, I'm a kingdom of God ambassador, and the blood of Jesus." And then she starts going, "There's different spirits in this room." Huh? Yeah. Come on, let's be ambassadors of the kingdom. Glory to God, we're here to make things right. Praise the Lord. So he tries to set up a kingdom in the soul world and make it seem like it's all spiritual. And it's not. That table moved by itself. No, it didn't. Some devils picked it up and moved it from there to there. Look, I can do the same thing here. Nobody's life was changed. You know, nobody was delivered. You know, nobody's walking in greater liberty. You know, nobody rent got paid or anything like that. Just a table moved. But that chair was rocking, and there was no one in it. Yeah, there was a devil. He's just in the soul world. You can't see him, and people were believing for that. You know, start praising God, and the chair will stop rocking. Why? The devil will leave. See how goofy people can get sometimes? Thinking the devil's all that? He's not all that. He's goofy. It's kind of like, you know, was the Wizard of Oz? Everybody ever seen the Wizard of Oz, you know? And Dorothy and all of them, and they go off on this expedition to do all, the wizard sends them off to do all this kind of stuff, and they come back, you know, they've got what they were supposed to, they went for, and so they're going all trembling into the wizard's palace, and ooh, and up on this wall is this smoke, and all this fear, ooh, and he knows, and little Toto, you're back to animals, right? Toto goes, he pulls the curtain back, and here's the wizard. He's pulling these levers and talking in this loudspeaker and making all this, and he goes, oh, he realizes he's been seen. Oh, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. See, that's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to make himself like he's all that, and when he's exposed, he's nothing but a little man behind the curtain somewhere trying to make a bunch of noise. You're the one that's really in control. See, he's only a prince. We're kings. Glory to God. Where do you think we're supposed to have our kingdom set up? In the soul world. Because whoever controls the soul world controls the natural world, folks. Hallelujah. He's a prince of the power of the air. We're kings of the power of the air. We've been letting some little old defeated prince rule over us with emotions and mind and, you know, doing spooky things. Oh, brother. Are you hearing this? Go over to John. The prince of the power of the air. That would be the atmosphere. That would be the soul world. Okay? Just a few more scriptures and we'll break. But let's go to John 20. Chapter of John, are we there? Verse 17. Jesus appears and Mary is there, remember? The first person God sent to preach was a woman. Just thought I'd throw that in. Anyway, Jesus turns around, Mary, you know, and she recognizes him. In verse 17, Jesus says, "Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and evangelize and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." And then just 10 verses over, he appears to them in the behind closed doors. They're behind closed doors, but, you know, that doesn't stop Jesus, right? He comes in, and he had appeared to them before, and Thomas wasn't there. Everybody knows the story, right? Thomas says, unless I put my hands in the nail prints and in his side, I'm not going to do it, right? So Jesus comes on the scene again while Thomas is there. And he says in verse 27, then he saith to Thomas, reach hither your fingers and behold my hands, and hither your hand thrust into my side, and be not faithless but believing. Now wait a minute, Jesus. Just 10 verses before, you said, touch me not, to Mary. You got something against women, right? No. He said to Mary, touch me not. But now here he is in verse 27. He says, touch me. What's the difference? He, as the high priest, had to take his own blood into the Holy of Holies, cleanse the spirit realm with his blood, and now he's back having performed his high priestly office. The devil cannot go before God anymore like he did in the book of Job. Remember in the book of Job, he would go before God and complain to God about and accuse God about Job. He cannot do that anymore. Why? The blood, it's been cleansed, and the devil can't go there anymore. The only thing he has is deception in this soul world, trying to set up a kingdom in this soul world. Daniel chapter 10, we'll go to two more verses. Daniel, are you all getting anything out of this? 5 minutes. Okay, we got 5 minutes, guys. Okay, Daniel is fasting. Daniel is what? Okay, just wanted to make sure you knew what was happening here. And he receives a word from God. This angel comes and visits him, right? And he says, let's pick it up in verse 12. Then said he, the angel, to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before God. What if he hadn't gone his 21 days? You know, just 18 or 19 or, well, that's good enough. But we're going all the way through, right? We're not here to compromise or take sides. We're here to take over. Your words were heard, and I am come for your words. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Who was really controlling the country of Persia? Was not the human king, but it was a prince of the power of the air that was talking into his mind and making him feel certain ways, manipulating and controlling him from the soul world. Whoever controls the soul world controls this natural realm. Who actually, remember, it's a fight of faith. We believe we receive, but who actually does the battling for us are the angels. And the angels cannot have access. They are in the spirit, folks. Our angels are in the spirit. They have access to the soul world as we command and praise and do what God has told us to do in obedience to God, changing our atmosphere, being air traffic controllers. The angels have access to the soul world and take that authority. I saw this one time. We were praising and speaking the word, and I just had this mini vision. And what I saw was a thick curtain. And I'm not sure that I even saw the curtain, but there was absolute light on one side and absolute darkness on the other. And as we were praising God and speaking the word, a rent came in the curtain between the light and the dark side. And a flood of light. Light flowed like a river into the darkness. And in that flood, from the light into the darkness, through that rent in the curtain, it was just like the light. See, you cannot overcome darkness with light. But you can overcome, you can't overcome light with darkness, but you can overcome darkness with just a little light. Amen. But when that rent happens, this flood of light, in that flood were these angels. And they came through that rent, and it was like, darkness fled because the angels were on the scene. When you go into that PVA office or wherever, and the atmosphere is wrong, there's angels right on the other side of that curtain of the soul just waiting for you to say something. waiting for you to praise, waiting for you to take authority, waiting for you to be the ambassador that you are commissioned to be, to take that, change that atmosphere and let them in on the scene and get people saved and healed and delivered. Go to 1 Peter and we'll close. Are you seeing this? Do you see how easy it is when we get a hold of this information? Is this powerful? You're getting stuff that 99.99999% of the people in this world have no idea of, and it's not hard when you get a hold of it. Renew your mind to it. Change your identity. First Peter, we're going to close with this. And actually, that was all introduction. Because this... 1 Peter chapter 1. Is this exciting? I'm just going to jump right in here at verse 6, because if I go back much further, we'll be another hour before lunch. Verse 6 says, chapter 1 of 1 Peter, are we there? Wherein you greatly rejoice, talking about receiving the knowledge of your inheritance that you have in Christ, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing or revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and on to the salvation of your soul. Right? Okay. So the subject is the salvation of the soul realm and the soul world. All right? Okay? But go back to verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. Now, this is a question I have for you this morning. Don't raise your hand or say anything, because preachers are notorious for getting you set up. That you there, is that you spirit? Is that you soul? Is that you flesh? Because Pastor Jack so eloquently laid out that you are not just a flesh creature. You're not just a soulish creature. You are spirit, you have a soul, and you live in this physical body in this earth realm. Right? So the you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Who's the you? Huh? Is that you, spirit? All right, this is what I want you to consider. Who is it that brings temptations? Do we know that? Just flip over here to James chapter 1, the first book over to the left. we can't skip verse 2. Verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Hey, glory to God, I woke up and there were devils everywhere. What fun! I mean, telling me all kinds of lies and, you know, playing videos about what I did last week and last year and in my old life my pain in my body and all kinds of good stuff. We're going to really do something for the kingdom today. That's how you count it all joy. When you encounter various trials, diverse temptations. Because, see, you got to know where the temptation comes from. See, if you think it's your fault, or God's putting something on you to teach you something, then you won't have that attitude. But in verse 12 it says, or verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So go back to 1 Peter. If you're being in heaviness through manifold temptations, where are the temptations coming from? A defeated devil. And is he in the spirit? No, he's not in the spirit. He's in that lower unseen realm called the soul world. So the heaviness through manifold, all nations have surrounded thee. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. Hopefully. No, that's just that soul world. This is not the world you live in. Your spirit. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principalities. That's low life to you. For you to wallow in all that junk down there, you'd start feeling sorry for yourself. No, I can't go to all the babies. I don't think it's all the devils that are loving. Praise God. Everybody else is getting a break. Think of what good you're doing. You attracted them all to your house, right? You're in heaviness. So you, the you there, is not you spirit. It's you what? Soul. This is talking about you soul. Your soul is in heaviness through manifold temptation. That's not you. Praise God. You can't do something about you, but you can do something about your soul. You can do something about your emotions. You can do something about the way you think. You can do something. Yoo-hoo! 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 That's not you. That's just your solar. That's what I call your feelings, your emotions. It's like the radar equipment. These Navy SEALs, they're trained. I mean, Navy SEALs, they are trained to do really crazy stuff. You know? They are trained. They see, you know, a whole platoon of the enemy there, and they're swinging on this grapevine, and they're saying, I'm going to jump down right in the middle of them with just a little knife and cut them up all. Yay, this enemy. So, the Navy SEAL, I mean, he'll swim for miles without air. They train people just to do really wild, bizarre things. Right? So, the Navy SEALs are in this submarine, right? And they're going, they've got this assignment, they're going somewhere. And they've got the radar, sonar, whatever. And suddenly, it goes off. The enemy, an enemy sign. And the Navy SEALs look at each other and go, it's an enemy sign. Quick, turn around. Maybe they didn't see us. No. They start rejoicing. Count it all joy. You've located the enemy's position. It's time to blast them out of the water. Right? When there's manifold heaviness through manifold temptations, it's time to joy with joy and sprinkle them full of glory because you're about to receive the end of this day. The salvation, and look at there, that in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you're in italics. You know you're in this thing for more than just yourself. The salvation of souls. Souls are going to be saved when you start taking your authority and occupying your inheritance in this soul world, in the earth realm. There's going to be souls liberated. When you're in control, when the righteous are in authority, what's going to happen? The people rejoice. Amen. Did you get something out of that? Are you set up? Amen.